3 or 4 months ago, or such, I did a sermon called Damaging Words. And when that sermon was over, I had 2 or 3 people ask me to do one just on gossip, because I had gossip included with that, as well as talking about verbal abuse and yelling and intimidation, name-calling, making fun of people. We talked about all those things grouped together. So I was asked to do one just on gossip. So that's what I did. I tweaked that one a little bit, made it all gossip. We talk about gossip. I want to start this evening with what's the definition of gossip? And what is a gossiper? We look at the definition. It's really pretty simple. It's casual or unconstrained conversation or reports about other people. It can be true or it can be false. Typically, gossip is untrue, but it can be either way when we look at it as casual or unconstrained conversation about other people. The definition of a gossip is a person who habitually reveals personal or sensational facts about others. Rumor or report of an intimate nature. Spreading gossip about a divorce, an affair, an out-of-wedlock pregnancy, and a breakup. Things of that nature. Synonyms or nouns that are synonymous with the word gossip is circulator. A person who just continues to stir the pot, so to speak. A tale-teller. Verbs are blab, tattle, and talk. So that's a little bit of a background about what gossip is and what a person that's called a gossiper, that's what they do. And I wanted to talk about it tonight, not only because I was asked to, but also because I think if we're all honest with ourselves, we have a problem with gossip. I'll include myself in that. So we're going to take a look at some verses tonight. We're going to see what God has to say about it. You can't blame the guy that's bringing the word. I'm just reading what God told me to read. Almost everyone has experienced the harm of gossip. I think almost everyone has spread gossip. Whether the people talking didn't mean direct harm or not, the result of gossip is almost always broken trust and hurt feelings. Gossip can be defined as information about the behavior or personal life of the other people, often without the full truth being revealed or known. It could be a partial truth. It could be that they're telling the truth, but it's not the whole truth, and it distorts it. We have that with God's word. We have that with preaching. People will pull things out of context to make it say what they want to say, and yet it still is the truth because it's there. God's word warns us to stay away from people who gossip and to guard our words when we speak about others. Saying gossip and spreading gossip is no worse than listening to it and paying attention to it, because either way, we're doing wrong things. I'm going to start in Proverbs tonight. That seems to be instruction that's best in the Bible about gossip. There's another word Scripture uses is slander, which means a false spoken statement damaging to people's reputation. Slander can destroy someone's reputation. It can destroy their marriage. It can destroy jobs, wealth, families, friends, fellow Christians. The tongue has power, and we have to be careful before we let it go into use. The mind also has power. We have to be careful before we engage it. The finger, when we're pushing buttons on a computer, has power. We have to be careful what button we push and what we spread out there. Is it good for everyone or is it bad? Is it gossip? How do we know it's true? And we saw a little bit earlier the definition of gossip. It doesn't matter whether it's true or false. It's spreading information about others. So we'll start Proverbs chapter 10, verses 17 through 21. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 17 through 21. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life. That's God's instruction. Those of us that heed God's word. But he who refuses correction goes astray. I think we're all pretty well aware of that. If you stay in God's word, you're in good shape. If you get away from God's word, start doing your own thing or start listening to false teaching, you're going to go astray. Then he goes on in verse 18, whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for the lack of wisdom. These are words out of Proverbs. We go back to verse 18, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. And we know by study, and we know by example in the Bible, when the word fool is used, it's a very harsh word. Because we're told not to call other people fools. So by that definition, fool is really tough to deal with. And when you see God's word say, whoever spreads slander is a fool, that's bad. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, starting verse 26. It says, the person who labors for himself, for his hungry mouth drives him on. An ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like burning fire. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. A violent man entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. He winks his eye to devise perverse things. He purses his lips and brings about evil. That's a gossiper. The person who labors for himself. For the hungry mouth drives him on. That's the want to gossip. That's the want to slander. That's the want to serve up strife. In verse 27 it says, the ungodly man digs up evil. That's what they do. You look out into the world, you look out into false teaching. Paul talks about false teaching all through every letter that he's got. Is that not digging up evil when you deal with false teaching? Absolutely. And yet we have it going on all the time. It's like on his lips, like burning fire. Just can't get rid of it fast enough. The verse 28 says, the perverse man sows strife. He's a whisperer. Separates the best of friends. You want to wreck a friendship? Gossip about somebody. Mm-hmm. Quickest way in the world to wreck a friendship, whether it be family, fellow Christian, or someone at work. How many times have we been in the workplace and you hear these little things behind the scenes? Well, did you know so-and-so's having an affair? Did you know so-and-so's got a 16-year-old daughter that's pregnant? Those things may all be true. Or they may be false, but it's gossip. You want to tear an office apart, get five women over here and five men over here, or vice versa, however you want to mix it, on opposite sides of something because they heard this from somebody and this group heard something else from somebody else and it doesn't click. Now all of a sudden you got a gossip war going on. But those people, the ungodly man, he wants to dig up that evil. He wants to hear it. He wants to spread it. And it's on his lips like burning fire. The violent man entices his neighbor. He leads him in a way that isn't good. That's your fellow coworker. That's your family. That's your friends. Leading them in a wrong direction. And to this guy, he winks his eye. It's all good. I'm doing it. That's what I want to do. He winks his eye to devise perverse things. And he purses his lips and brings about evil. Right out of the mouth. But he's devised it. He winks at it. Whispering, separating the best of friends. Proverbs 26. T- 20 to 22. Let's go to 23. We're all familiar with this passage. It's used in sermons after sermon after sermon. It says, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Amen. Where there's no charcoal, you can't barbecue steaks. All right? And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. If we don't have the guy with the burning lips and wanting to spread the gossip, it says here, if the fire goes out where there is no talebearer, there is no strife. We don't enter into these things in life. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is the contentious man to kindle strife. He wants to build that fire. He wants to build that relationship where it's not good. He wants to lead people into astray. The words of a talebearer, these are the words of the talebearer, are like tasty trifles. It's like a good chocolate bar. It's like a peanut butter cookie or a chocolate chip cookie. It's something you just can't get enough of. The words of talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. You just devour it. Fervent lips with a wicked heart are like earthenware covered with silver dross. But the point here is, if there's no talebearer, there's no strife. And if we don't listen to it, if we don't feed that fire, the fire will go out. Part of that fire that's being built with this talebearer is because we listen to it. And why do we listen to it? My opinion is, and I don't like to use my opinion, but my opinion is we can't get away from it. We want it. We want to hear the what they call it, the juicy gossip on somebody. Neighbors talking over the fence between their yards about other neighbors. That's gossip. The talebearer. If there is none of that, there is no strife. How good this world would be if we didn't have backbiting and tailbiting and tailbearing and all this other stuff going on. How calm and cool and collected all this world would be. But we can't seem to get away from that thing that feeds us and keeps us going, and that's gossip. Go over into the New Testament a little bit. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, 28 through 32. This is Paul writing to the church in Rome. And he says, starting in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. God had it done. He said, just go ahead and do it. If you don't want to be saved, if you don't want salvation, just go ahead and do it. Being filled with all unrighteousness, these minds, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy. Gossip leads to envy, doesn't it? You got to have more than what the Joneses have got. Oh, Larry bought a new car. I got to go have a new car. Full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. And then what does he say? They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, which we just saw in Proverbs, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, they're this way and they still know that there's a righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So it's not only they're doing these things, they also approve of the people that are doing it, and probably their buddies. You get two people together gossiping with each other, they become pretty close. Till one of them gossips about the other one. Then it all falls apart. All right? Knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death. That's a spiritual death. That means you're not going to heaven. That means you don't have any of God's grace. That's what it's saying. And not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice the same. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 12 and verse 20. Another one of Paul's letters. This happened to be the second letter to the church in Corinth. He had calmed down a little bit from the first letter, but he still got some things to say to him. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 20. He says, For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish. All right? He's telling the church in Corinth, I don't think I'm going to find you the way I want to find you. And that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish. They don't want somebody coming in and teaching the truth. They're listening to false teaching. They're listening to things that tickle their ears. So Paul's saying, I'm not going to find you the way I want. And because I'm the way I am and I'm strictly with God's word, you're not going to like what I am. Lest there should be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, and tumults. That's why he thinks he's not going to like what he sees. He knows what's going on. He gets reports from all these churches from people. Granted, Corinth's a tough town. There was a lot of sin in Corinth and Ephesus and Crete and whatever church you want to talk about or the church today. It doesn't matter. Lest there be contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, and then he gets into what we're talking about tonight, backbitings and whisperings. It's not left out. Let no corrupt word, no bitings, no backbitings, no whisperings. Don't let that into your life. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, starting verse 29. Pretty much what he just said in Corinth, in the Corinthian letter. But he starts in verse 29, let no corrupt words proceed out of your mouth. That's a command. That's a direct command. Do not let corrupt words proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Are you saying what people want to hear? Are you saying things that will be beneficial to the hearers? Or are you telling things that are going to tear people down? And then he says in verse 30, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You think the Holy Spirit is happy inside us when we do this thing? When we backbite, when we tailbite, when we talk about other people? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And then he goes on in verse 31, and he tells us what to do, how to get rid of this. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking, what are you supposed to do with that? Be put away from you with all malice. Just get rid of it. Yeah, I know, Paul, but that's tough. It's not easy. God didn't say it was going to be easy. But he does give us a path to righteousness. And then verse 32, he gives a little more, and it's a little easier. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgive one another. And how are we supposed to forgive? The same way, even as God in Christ forgave us. How did he forgive us? He died. That's how we're to do. Let no corrupt word come out of the mouth. James chapter 1. Verse 26. James gets right down to the point. I love this letter. He is so plain and so simple to understand. And he says in verse 26 of chapter 1, he says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religious is useless. If you don't bridle the tongue, you're deceiving your own heart. If you're thinking what you're doing is okay, you're deceiving yourself. And if that's the case, I should say ourselves. Let me include myself in this. If that's the case, then our religion is useless. What's the point? If you're going to continue to sin, what's the point? We can't do that. If the tongue cannot be bridled, the religion is worthless. James 4. James 4, 11 and 12. Further instruction on how we're supposed to treat other people. Verse 11, he says, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Do not speak evil of another. First verse 11. First sentence. Do not speak evil of one another. Then James 3. We're going to end this here. James 3, 2 through 10. Start with verse 1. 1 through 10. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. None of us walking on this earth are perfect. Indeed, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil. It is full of deadly poison. And with it we bless our God and Father. And with it we curse men and who have been made in the similitude of God. And then out of that same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. The words of James. The problem with the tongue. I don't think there's a person in here that can say we don't have a problem once in a while. We'd be lying to ourselves. Back to the verse that we deceive ourselves. We'll deceive our heart if we think we don't have problems in our everyday life. And it's so easy to let something slip out. And a half a dozen words can ruin a relationship that you may have had for 30 years. We have to be so careful. That's the lesson tonight. That's strictly gossip. You can string other words in there and put the same meaning into the lesson. But gossip, I had an elderly lady tell me one time, she said, I really believe gossip is going to put more people in hell than anything else. It's a sin. And it's something we have to continually work on. It's like working on patience. It becomes a learned behavior. And if we don't learn how to control the tongue, it'll never happen. If we don't pay attention and want to do it, it will never happen. Tonight we issue an invitation. If there are those in attendance tonight that have not put their Lord on in baptism, the baptistry is ready. We're ready. All you got to do is say, yes, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Repent of your sin. If there are those that maybe need help with things going on in their life, maybe you've got this tongue that you can't bridle. Maybe you've got this thing that's going on in your life that you need help with. We're here for you. Prayers of this congregation work. We've seen them work. So we can't pray for you if we don't know you have a problem. We can't pray with you if you don't ask for help. And there's nothing wrong with saying, I need some help with this. Let's pray together. That's why we're here. That's what congregations are for. So with that in mind, we're going to stand. We're going to sing the invitation song as Sam leads us.